these on top of the Amud, the Reisha and the Seifa, are familiar to us from the previous Sugyos. Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Shlosha Hadassim, Shtei Arava, Shlulav Echad, Esrog Echad. And Rabbi Akiva disagrees, Kishem Shlulav Echad, V'Esrog Echad, Kach Hadass Echad, V'Arava Achas. What's the Chiddush of the Mishnah is the Emtzousa, in which the Tanakama says, Afilu Shnayim Ketumim Ve'echad Eino Katum, Chora referring to the Gimel Hadassim, and there Rabbi Tarfon says, Afilu Shlosha Ketumim. The question that all the Rishonim deal with, everyone in his own way, is what is the relationship between this Mishnah, Daf Lamed Dalet and Amud Beis, and the Mishnayis that we saw earlier on Daf Kaf Tes Amud Beis, and and on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, and on Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, in terms of the concept of Katum. And here we have a very short but very, very powerful statement in the Rif, that when on the Sugi, on Hadas Gazul, where we have the Mishnah that says, Niktam Rosho is possible, Tani Ula Bar Chanina, Niktam Rosho Va'olsa Batimra Kosher, we had the entire sugya of yesh dicha b'mitzvos, ein dicha b'mitzvos. Comes along the Rif and says, v'ifzika hilchasa l'kaman krabi tarfa, at the end of our sugya, do'amar afilu shroshtan ketumin, hilchach loshna ol sabatimra, loshna lo ol sabatimra kashe. That we have an identity between the world of ketumim in our Mishnah, in Rabbi Tarfa, and in the Tanakama, and the katum that we find by Lulav and by Hadas and by Arava, it's all one and the same, and that we basically paskin that ketumim is not an issue. Afilu shrosha ketumim, even if the rosh would be katum in the three hadasim, everything is fine. The Rishonim, namely the Baal HaMor and the Ravid and the Ritva, ask a series of questions on this Rif. Probably the best summary is in the Ritva. B'chal, it's on Sukkah, the Ritva serves as b'emet a lodestone of a summary of information, even more than the Meiri. And as you saw, there are basically five questions that are raised on the Perish of the Rif. The first question being, How is it possible that the Mishnah is Shalal Ibad Hilchasa? It's that we have a Stam Mishnah in a series of Stami Mishnayot, and to say that if we pass Rabbi Tarfon, that Shalal Ibad Hilchasa raises eyebrows. V'od, second question was, why should Chad V'lo Katum, a Hadas, with a head, according to the Rif, why should that be lo shriach? Most hadassim have heads. And thirdly, the question is, why in the world should we distinguish between the world of hadas and the world of lulav and arava? If katum is pasul and lulav and arava, no one disagrees with that. Narabi Tarfon, why should it be kosher in hadas? The fourth question is that the Yerushalmi, rather than use the word katum within the sugar of Rabbi Tarfon, uses the word dlayot, which lechora has nothing to do with cutting off a head. Dalya is like a vine that's coming up. And the final question is that entire sugya of Ol Saba Timra, to say that whole sugya in Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph is Shaloki Hilchasa, is at least as problematic, saying that the Mishnah Shaloki Hilchasa, we have no indication that the entire sugya is Shaloki Hilchasa. These are the five questions that exist on the Shita of the Rif, and the Ramban basically responds to all five questions. Some of the questions he responds to in the Milchamos, some he responds to in his Hasagos on the Hilchos Lulav of the Ravid. And again over here, the Ritva summarizes the answers of of the Ramban, but the Ramban is starting off from a very, very important place in terms of generally his work of Melchamos Hashem. Amar Hakosev Lo Rabbeinu Zal Amaro. You know, don't treat this as a shita of the Rif. Avol Kol HaGaonim Kach Amru. The Rif simply represents the tradition, the Masaras of Moshe Kibbutz Torah Misinai u'Masara LeYoshua. The Rif is the Masaras of the Gaonim. Lo Irer Adam MeHarishonim Badavar VeKabbalasam Tachria. And we don't have in the early Rishonim any machlokas against the Rif. This appears to be pshat in the sugyos. And so ma pitom, that all of a sudden the Baal Hamor and the Ravid should come up with questions. Like, why should these questions all of a sudden arise in the, you know, in the tkufa immediately preceding the Ramban, if everyone has accepted this as pshat? So what do we do with the five questions? So in the order in which we ask the questions, we'll give the answers. First is that in the Chinami, we have a Mishnah Stam, but we have rules. And we have a rule that Stam v'achar kach machlokas, we paskin like the machlokas. And so over here, we have a Stam Mishnah, and now we have a machlokas, Tanakama and Rabbi Tarfon, and so we paskin like the machlokas. In terms of chad lo katim lo shliach, so the Ramban sets it up as the Nukimta. Shmuel, in his place, the Aravos, I'm sorry, the Hadas, he used to dry up on the top, and we pointed out that a Hadas that dries up on the top is the equivalent of Katum. It's one psul of Hadar, and that's simply the Mitzius. In terms of, I'm skipping one question, skipping the question of why would Hadas be different, in terms of the fact that it has a different name of Dol Yod. So, in other words, the Ramban with his Bekiyus points out that the concept of Dalya doesn't only mean a vine, it also means that which is snipped off. When we speak about the process of Zmira, of pruning, we also use the phrase Hidla, and as such, perhaps cutting off the top would fit in with the language of Dalyot. And in terms of the previous sugya that everyone tried to understand, what's the din of also batimra? So it could very well be that in Achinami, one of the shitos, the one that holds that the katum would be pasul, is shalali b'dehilchasa. But we could say that all the amarim are simply looking for a hadas muhudar, and they want to know that if also batimra, does that turn the hadas back into a muhudar, even if we don't? Even if it would be kosher without the Timra, but it would be more of a heder with the Timra, and that was the earlier discussion. And the Ritva says on all of these answers of the Ramban, that the Ramban is a tzaddik yisod olam, Rabbeinu Zal, Rav Chesed, Don L'schus, you know, it's like a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to try and be mezakeh, the Rif and the Gaonim, but everything that he wrote is dochuk. But the one answer that I didn't mention is because we have a bit of a lack of clarity exactly what the Ramban says. Just to read it in the Ritva, v'hoda machshirin b'niktam rosho shel hadas yoseh mishar minim. Why should hadas be an exception? Everyone agrees niktam rosho by lulav is pasul. Everyone agrees niktam rosho by arava is pasul. Mishum da al yedei shehu avus ba'olin ein ketima nikeres bo mo bishar minim. That because of the nature of the hadas, that the leaves are thick, the ketima would not be as obvious as in the other minim. And since ketima is a din of hadar, and hadar is in the eyes of the beholder, so subjectively the hadas katum would not be as striking a psul as an arava ketuma or as a lulav katum. Why do I say that it's not clear? Because if we look in the Ran, again, I'm sorry, I know
that was the Ritva's own shita, him quoting the Ramban.
This is the Ramban. This okay. Is the Ramban according to his Talmud, the Ritva. I'm sorry, even though the Gemara has returned, it's found its way back to, but I brought up my own Gemara because it's a Rif and I can't deal with the Rif in the Oz V'Hadar. So in my Rif, on Daf Tet Zayin Amud Beis, there is a Ran, which also gives the answer of the Ramban, but there is a Hagos Habach within within the Ran, and the question is, which girsa is the proper girsa? In my edition, it's again on Daf Tet Zayin Amud Beis. It's the fifth Y line under the Rif. The second word on the line is Haramban Mechazer Letaretz Kushiot Elu. Va'amar va'hayde machshirina niktam rosho shel hadas yoser mishar minim, that this is the only why question. All the other questions are what question. This is the only why question. Haynu mishum da yedei shehu avus ba'alim ein haktima nikeres bo kamoshu nikar bishar minim. Namely, exactly the language of the Ritva is found over here in the Ran, but there is this little dalad of the Bach, and the Bach says sarach omar v'ein, that we divide this into two answers. We have a double answer. One is Dayideshu Avus Ba'alin. That's answer number one. Answer number two, Ve'ena Ktima Nikeres Bo. I was trying to figure out, as I was reading over and over, what pushed the Bach to put in a Vav. It's so clear that we have over here one sentence, and so what I printed out for you is the Hasagos HaRamban on the Hilchos Lulav of the Ravid, where we have the Ramban's own language. I'm not sure whether the Bach had this or did not have the Hasagos of the Ramban, but clearly he was machaving to it. The Im Tishal, I biktimas rosh lama hichshar bitarfan bahadas velo chilek bishar minim lahakshir niktam rosh belulav v'arava. Hatabozeh lefi da'ati mneisha hahadas kol hadaro ba'avoso sha'olav chofenes eitzo. V'ein ketimas harosh nikeres bo mashen kein bishar haminim. Namely, that really we have over here a double answer of the Ramban. One answer is what we saw earlier, that in the world of Hadar, we're dealing with in the eyes of the beholder. In the eyes of the beholder, Nikar is a very important factor. And by the nature of the Hadas, the Ketima of the Eitz is not Nikar, because it's covered over by the leaves. However, when you put in the Vav, and we have over here two reasons being given, the first reason is Nesha Hadas Kol Hadaro Ba'avoso Sha'olav Chofen Es Eitzo. Namely, that as opposed to the world of Arava and Gulav, where the world of Hadas centers upon the Spitz, centers upon the tippy-top. In Arava, we don't view it by the top. I'm sorry, in Hadas, we don't view it by the top, but rather we move the Hadar from the stem to the alim, to the leaves. In other words, so we have over here a double reason. A hadar in hadas is only in the world of avos, only in the world of leaves. There's no hadar in terms of the top of the branch, A. B, even were there to be a hadar in the top of the branch, we wouldn't notice it because of the nature of the hadas. It's something which is enonikar. But we have over here a double reason. That's what we have in, again, within the Ritva and the Ran, we have one reason of Nikar. Within the Ramban and the Bach, we have a second reason, that the world of Hadar moves over to the world of leaves as opposed to the Anaf, as opposed to the stem. But within Rashi, we have a third reason. That's very, very fascinating. What does Rashi say? Why does Rabbi Tarfon on the Mishnah? Why does Rabbi Tarfon allow for three hadasim ketumim as opposed to the world of lulav and arava where katum is pasul? That hadar somehow does not apply to the world of hadas. Now that already is, we have to figure this out. In other words, we've so far seen two shitos. One is that there's no din of hadar, b'chal. There's no din of hadar. Pre-eitz hadar is a noun. It's a fruit. It has nothing to do with the world of Hadar, with the world of beauty. So that's Rav Yehuda. On the other hand, we have Rabbanan who hold that Hadar is in all the Minim. Why would we have a Shita that would say that they're not like the Ramban? The Ramban says we have Hadar in a Hadas, but it's in the leaves. In other words, at least according to the Ramban and the Bach. But to say that there's no din of Hadar, there's no din of hadar in hadas, hadar lo boi hadas. I have no idea where Rashi came up with this.
It's the most simple understanding of the Mishnah.
100%, but there's a lama, there's a why. In other words, the Mishnah goes ahead to explain the shitas. In other words, in other words, that we have drushas of psukim, of plural and singular, etc., and we had already the sugya of hadar as to whether it applies to all the minim or to none of the minim. But to apply to, you know, to have a shita that hadar would apply to esrog as applies to the other, that's a shita we could clearly understand. But we don't even find such a shita. There's no one that says that. So to say that hadar applies to everything but a hadas is, I don't know. Okay. Anyway, but Rashi says it. Rashi says it because, as you know, it is lechora pshat in the Mishnah, filu shloshan ketumim. But in any case, this is where we're holding in terms of those who agree with the Rif. And again, as Ramban points out, this was the classic way that Gemara was learned through the Tkufa of the Gonim and the Rif. But the Baal Hamor, I should say, the Ravid and the Baal Hamor and the Ritva and the Ra'ah all disagree and say that we have over here Tzvei Dinim, we have two worlds of Katum, we have a Din of Niktam Rosho, that applies to all of the minim, including the hadas, and even Rabbi Tarfon would agree with that, because we have a Stam Mishnah, and we have a Sugya of Al Saba Timra, and there's no reason why it shouldn't apply. However, we have another din in terms of Ketumim, not Niktam Rosho, in terms of Ketumim, which one has to learn into our sugya that there shouldn't be all the stiros that we mentioned, and l'chora is pshat in the Yerushalmi, and the Ravid, as you saw, goes to great length to learn the Yerushalmi in terms of a havamina and a maskana, and that is that the havamina was that ketumim, the daliot, referred to those branches that are very, very, very pliable, like a vine, that grow at the top, like nowadays in the world of Arava, everyone looks for a lavluv, even though that phrase is not mentioned in the Gemara. An Arava that on the top has these very, very thin leaves. It doesn't end with a stem; it ends with fresh thin leaves. And so the dagliot would be the fresh hadasim that are growing at the end. And that would be a hidur, that would be a unique shevach, that was the havamin of Yerushalmi. Then Yerushalmi says, no, that katum is a possible gnai, it's a possible pegam. And here is where Rabbi Tarfon is mechadish to us that we do not view katum as a pegam, and we're dealing not with the pliable vine-like branches, but rather we're dealing with a hadas which has been photoshopped, right? That's probably what we would say nowadays. A hadas which is not its original. We've taken away the pimples. We've taken off the gray hairs. We photoshopped up the hadas. How do you photoshop up a hadas? You prune it. That a hadas generally grows with a lot of whiskers coming out on the sides, and those are removed. So we have a hadas that has... That has been made nicer by man, and the question is whether by man making it nicer, he has been posel the hadas, and that's where you have the machlokes tanoim that the Tanakama holds, Rabbi Shmuel holds that a hadas katum is a problem, that it is not shalem, it is not in its natural God-made form, it's been pruned. It no longer has the wholeness of the anaf eitz avos. And the chiddush of Rabbi Tarfon is: who cares? Who cares? As long as we have the anaf eitz avos, as long as what's left on the hadas are the three leaves in a single circle, who cares that we cut off additions? That's the chiddush. That's the chiddush of Rabbi Tarfon, that we do not require the natural hadas. It's enough to have an improved hadas, and we don't view the improvement as the griusa, but rather that it's just an issue of hadar. The Ramban, you know, words who saw this new perush coming out of Provence from the school of the Ravid and the Bahamur and the Ra'ah, was astonished. Why in the world would you have a Hava Mina that you would require a trunk of hadas, that you would require a hadas with all of these leaves? Why? Where would we see such a thing in the sugya that Rabbi Tarfon would have to be machadish to us that it's not a problem? In other words, what hidur possibly would there be? Self call self. We don't find that the lulav. We don't uproot a palm tree in order to be able to carry it. We cut off that which we need. So here we cut off the hadas that we need, and anything which is extraneous, we simply, can take off. There's no problem of taking it off. In any case, this is the perush. The Ravid was a bit upset that since he was the one who was machadesh, the fact that he was given anonymity by the Baal Hamor, Vayesh Mefarshim, this was not written anonymously, it was written in his kuntras. He takes full responsibility, and he takes full credit for the perush. And as you saw in the Ritva, it went through somewhat of went through certain stages in terms of exactly what is being cut off. This is where the Ritva ends up. This is what he heard from Mori Rabbeinu, who's still alive, from the Ra'ah, and points out that the Baal Hamor and the Ra'ah have a family connection, that the Baal Hamor was the grandfather of the Ra'ah. Kamo Shapirish or Baal Hamor Zakeno Shel Rabbeinu Nero Yo'ir, as opposed to his other Rebbe, the Ramban, who's already in Olam HaEmes. Okay, so we have this Machlokes, and in terms of Psak, we're going to see when we get to the end of the sugya exactly how we paskin, but the question is, what exactly are we talking about? Within the Shulchan Aruch, the Shita of the Rif has disappeared. Even though this, the Ramban is correct that the Rif was simply repeating a tradition, but everyone moved over to the understanding of the Ravid in the terms of the world of Ketumim. The Gemara then moves over to the world of Lekicha Tama, the four minim are Ma'akvin Ze et Ze, that we need four, not three, not two, not one, we need four. The Kachtem Shetehe Lekicha Tama. Tosus points out that there is no stira between this Gemara and the Gemara that we are going to come to in terms of the Esrog, that an Esrog which is Chaser is a lack of Lekicha Tama, that Tama can have more than one meaning, Shivim Panam LaTorah, and they can be valid. I mean, the drashos are not mutually exclusive. We can have two drashos, Anu Lekachtem Lachem, and Lehefach Tosas pointed out that in terms of the Lekicha Tama, it could very well be that Chaser is only a psul on the first day, but the Lekicha Tama of four meaning would be for all 7 days. And we could have two drashos from the same word, with two different meanings and two different impacts on the world of Arba Minim. One of them would be a local psul that would apply the first day, a din of Hadar, parallel to Hadar in terms of external appearance, and then to have another principle that will extend all 7 days. But the question is exactly, what does this phrase mean? Minayin shema akvin zo et zo. We have a whole series of mishnayos in Menachos of things that are ma'akev zo et zo. And here we have a machlokas within Tosos between Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag. As you saw, it extends also to the world of the Rambam and the Hagos Maimoni, and then moves over also into the Ravid and other Rishonim as well. What is Lekicha Tama? But we're starting off from, I think, that which is a given of all of the Perushim, is that which the Rambam posits in his 11th Shoresh of the Sefer HaMitzvos of the Rambam. We know that the Rambam wrote a Hakdama to his Sefer HaMitzvos with how many Shoreshim? It's the Rambam. Today's his birthday. I think today's Rambam's birthday. How many Shoreshim are in the Rambam? The Rambam. 13? No. That's a misunderstanding. What does the Rambam divide everything into?
14.
14, right. The Rambam divides everything into 14. I'm sorry, it's not his birthday, it's his yahrzeit today. His birthday was Yud Dalet Nisan, which was one of the reasons why he may have divided everything into 14. He has the Yad HaChazakah. And in terms of the Ani Ma'amins, in terms of the Ekronot, there are really, as Lord Dr. Rabbi Sachs pointed out very, very properly, there are 14. 13 about God and one about man. 13 about God is what we have in the Hakdama to Perek Chelek and the Ani Ma'amins in the back of the Siddur. And what's the Ikaron about man? Ani Ma'amin, that man is a Baal Bechira. That's an Ikar Gadol. That's what the Rambam describes in Hilchos Tshuva. An Ikar Gadol. So we have 14 Ikarim. And there are 14 principles by which he counted mitzvos. And the Rambam also wrote a sefer that very few people read, but it's in Hebrew books, called Hagut. He wrote a sefer of philosophy before he wrote the Mor Nevuchim on classic principles of philosophy, in which he has 14 principles of philosophy. That's 14. So within these 14 principles, yes?
The reason why it's not included in the principles?
Because it doesn't refer to God.
So 13 principles are about God, but there's really 14
principles. Ikarim. There are 14 Ikarim. Within the Rambam of Emunah, 13 of them relate to God, and one relates to man. And then within those that relate to God, they could also be divided into categories: God per se, God relating to the world, God relating to history, etc. What is the 11th principle? So the Rambam writes, "Hashoresh ha'achad asar she'ein roi limnot chelkei ha'mitzvah." Bifrat chelak chelak bifnei atzmo, kishiyeha mekubatz mehem mitzvah achat. That there are many mitzvahs that are made up of components. And we don't list components as separate mitzvahs. We only list the conglomerate, the complete mitzvah. Pa'amim yet zivui ha'echad shu mitzvah achat shesh lo chalakim rabim, kamo mitzvah slulov. Shehi arba asminim. Hinei lo nomar, and this is according to everyone, it's irrelevant in terms of the Bahag or Rabbi Utam or the Ravid or the Rambam. Ki lo nomar ki pri eitz hadar mitzvah ifnei atzma kapos tavarim mitzvah ifnei atzma anaf eitz avos mitzvah atzma va'arvi nachal mitzvah bifnei atzma. No one says that. Lefisha elu kulam heim chelkei mitzvah. We have four components of the mitzvah of arba minim. Ki hutzi vala kabtzam va'achar kibutzam tiyeh mitzvah lekichat hakol biyad biyom. On the day that we're going to be menaneya them. V'zeh ma'asher ruchachamim shadavar ploni uploni ma'akvin ze'etze hineu mavuah shehem mitzvah achas kamo arba minim belulav lechem apanim amalavon azaka sheteyas imo shelashonam mizeh hasdarim v'habazichin ma'akvin ze'etze. Whenever you find ma'akvin ze'etze, mavuah shehem mitzvah achas. So it's a given that we're talking about one mitzvah within minyan hamitzvos. However, Rabbeinu Tam understands that ma'akvin ze etze means what? According to Rabbeinu Tam,
you don't need igud.
No one says we need igud. We paskin not like Rav Yehuda. We don't need igud. But what does Rabbeinu Tam say that it means?
You have to take them together.
You have to take them all at one time. They have to be taken simultaneously. That's what ma'akvin ze etze means. Namely, that within the ma'aseh mitzvah, we have one ma'aseh mitzvah. One mitzvah and one ma'aseh mitzvah. The Bahag, however, understands that what does l'kicha tama mean? One shouldn't think that Rabbeinu Tam is correct. That the moment that we say that lulav doesn't require igud, it doesn't require simultaneity. It can be done one after the other. Now, clearly, you would understand, and when you were learning this, I hope that you were mayor, that there are two ways of understanding the Bahag. There are two ways of understanding the Bahag. What would be his role model? What would he compare Arba Minim to? So I'll give you two role models, and you'll tell me what's the difference between these two role models. One role model is Tkia Shofar, and the other role model would be Sfirat Ta'omer. Okay? We have one mitzvah of Tkia Shofar, we have one mitzvah of Sfirat Ta'omer. The question is, what is the Baha'i comparing Arba Minim to? If you want to. Okay.
So the Hag is the one who understands that Sfiras Omer.
Excuse me?
The Hag is the one who understands that Sfiras Omer is 49 different mitzvahs.
49 different.
That's 49 different mitzvahs.
45 different ma'aseh mitzvahs.
The same mitzvah.
Right. We have one kiyum. We have one kiyum of Sfiras Omer, but there are 49 ma'aseh mitzvot. 100%. And therefore we have. Well, we'll see in a minute. You know, that's one approach. So maybe hu hadin that we have these four minim, we can have four maasei mitzvot that will make up one kiyum mitzvah. That this one kiyum mitzvah is made up of four maasim. If you can make up one kiyum mitzvah out of 49 maasim, you can clearly make up one kiyum mitzvah out of four maasim. That's one possibility, with, as you pointed out, with the shita. So, however, it's another possibility is comparing it to kiya shofar. What do we have in tkiya shofar? Look at the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Amar of Yochanan, Shama teisha tkiyos b'teisha shaos b'yom yatsa. Would anyone say that in tkiya shofar we have nine ma'aseh mitzvot? We don't know with tarat. He came with tkiya trua tkiya, tkiya trua tkiya. Tkiya trua tkiya. You know, and so you can divide the day into 9 hours. Every day, blow one kol, and throughout over Rosh Hashanah, you have a kiya mitzvah of tkiya shofar.
Just one prolonged ma'aseh.
Excellent. That you can have a concept of a prolonged ma'aseh. That we have one prolonged ma'aseh, as opposed to Rabbeinu Tam, who says that a ma'aseh, at least in arba minim, is defined by simultaneity. In other words, the Baha'i can say, well, we have in the world of Tkiyat Shofar a prolonged ma'aseh mitzvah. It's all one extended mitzvah. In other words, the mitzvah is made up of all these parts, and the parts do not have to be together. Ma'inaf gemina, if the Baha'i is working off of Tkiyat Shofar, of one prolonged ma'aseh mitzvah, or the Baha'i is working off of Sfiras Ha'omer, where we have 49 ma'aseh mitzvah that make up one kiyum mitzvah. Bracha. Bracha. Right? We have one bracha on Tkiyat Shofar, but we have 49 brachos on Sfiras Ha'omer. How many brachos are made, according to the Baha'i, if you decide to take the Arba Minim one by one? That would be Lechora the Nafgamina. Is there any Rishon that you saw that says that if you took them one by one, you would make four brachos? So look in the Me'iri. The Me'iri, about five, six lines, and what I printed for you from the bottom, says, seven lines in the bottom, in the middle of the line, V'chol hanotel es kulan biyachad kedino, mivarech al halulav, kamosh yizboyer. Avo kol shenotel echad echad, mivarech al kol echad bifnei atzmo, v'chein kasvuha gedolei ha-meforshim. Who is the gedolei ha-meforshim of the Me'iri? Gedolei ha-machabrim is the Rambam. And gedolei ha-meforshim? We dealt with this once. I'm going to ask another test, I think. Who is the gedolei ha-meforshim of the Me'iri? The Ravid. In other words, we consider the Ravid to be the gedolei ha-masigim, right? But the Ravid was considered to be Gdolei Mefarshim. He's the one who's Machadesh, a whole Perush on Ketumim. The Ravid, you know, was viewed as a tremendously original thinker, and he was the Gdolei HaMefarshim of the Miri. So the Ravid, in his Kuntrus, understands that we have that the Bahag views this as four separate Maasei Mitzvot. Again, that we have within the Ravid two options. We have an option of taking the four simultaneously, and then we'll have one bracha. And what will be that one bracha? Al Netilat Lulav, right? That's the highest one, that's the Gemara points out. But when they're taken separately, this will be Al Netilas Lulav, this will be Al Netilas Hadas, Al Netilas Rava, Al Netilas Esrog. And he points out, Ugedolei Hadoros, the Gedolei Hadoros generally generally relates to the Sefer HaShlama. Again, the Meiri lived in Provence, so he basically deals with Rishonei Provence. Ir Ashgaga shenotlu es halulav velo hayasham arava uberchu al halulav becheska shehu kedino shekol bechol minav. Some they thought that they were taking all four minim, but the aravos were missing, and they made a bracha on atilas lulav. Achar kach hirgishu bechisaron haarava v'nosnu v'nosnu matamid in tamidehem. What should they do at that point? V'gamru bedaita v'notru arava uberchu on atilas arava v'shechianu. That's of course self. They were already yotzei with the al atilas lulav and the other three minim, and they just needed now the arava to be mashlim, and so they made a separate bracha only on the arava, and since it was the first day, also the Shechiyanu, Benasnu Tam, Ledivrehem, etc. Okay, the question is, when we move over to the Rambam, if we turn the page over, we move over to the Rambam. The Rambam at first gives the mitzvah min hamufchar of taking everything together, even with an igud. We pointed out that even if igud is not ma'akev according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah le'egod, and we pointed out that that may be part and parcel of the mitzvah. And then the Rambam concludes, v'im lo agadan v'netalan echad echad yotza v'hu shiyu arba'atan mitzuyin etzlo aval im lo hayal ela min echad o shechasaru min echad lo yitol achim sahashar. Right, that the minim are ma'akvim ze etze. However, even though the ideal was to take them all together, one can take them one by one on the condition shiyu arba'atan mitzuyin etzlo. How do you understand the Rambam in terms of positing the Rambam with the Bahag and Rabbeinu Tam?
Yeah.
We have that according to Rabbeinu Tam, we have Ma'asa Mitzvah Echad B'Vasachas. Within the Bahag, we had two possibilities, but let's give them two names, okay? We have the Ravid that we have four Ma'asei Mitzvos that make up one Kiyum, right? That's the Ravid, that's the Gedolei HaMefarshim, that there he has four brachos. The Bahag may be the Ravid, or the Bahag could be that we have Ma'ase Mitzvah Echad Mit Ma Shechet. Right? As opposed to the Ma'ase Mitzvah Echad Bevat Achad, we have Ma'ase Mitzvah Echad, but as a process. Now we have the Rambam, who says that we can have them ze achar ze b'tnai shemetsuyim biyado. He has to have all four of them front and center, and then he can take them one out, one at the other. We look at the Rambam. Where would you fit the Rambam into our chart?
What we have at number two is the most obvious place, but we can't say with certainty he doesn't belong to the Ravid. He doesn't talk about bracha. So how else can we figure out which one he meant by?
I would say that, in other words, the Tanai of Mitzuyim Biyado, L'chora, would certainly take the Ravid out of the equation.
The Ravid would say that if you only have two, you take each two by themselves and say the bracha.
If you plan, when you plan, no, again, you have two, and you are relatively certain you're going to have the other two. You make a bracha on this, a bracha on this, etc. As long as you are, you know, you don't have to have them. You know they're in shul. You know, or it's in shul.
Is that what Mitzuyim B'Yado means?
No. Mitzuyim B'Yado, I assume, means that they are on your table. Mitzuyin etzlo. That they're available to you. It could be maybe one is upstairs, one is downstairs, one is in the, you know, where it's on the porch. Anyways, but Mitzuyim Etzlo, they're all, and then you don't have to go running around for them. You don't have to go to your neighbor. They're Mitzuyim Etzlo. But where does, in other words, I would take the Ravid out of the equation. Between Rabbeinu Tam and the Bahag, question is the Rambam a watered down Rabbeinu Tam or a souped up Bahag? That was.
Well, it's really exactly the Bahag is what's happening in the middle, isn't it?
Again, within the Bahag, there is no need for Mitsuyin Biyado. Within Rabbeinu Tam, there we don't know anything about Mitsuyin Biyado. In other words, it could be that the Rambam is Mekel on Rabbeinu Tam and Machmir, or is he Machmir on the Bahag? In other words, are we saying that basically the Rambam holds like the Bahag that it's one Maisa Mitzvah Mitmashechet? But when do we have that option of viewing something as a Maisa Mitzvah Achas Mitmashechet when it's Matzah V'yodo? You have a shofar, so you can blow whatever you want. So then, when you can blow the shofar whenever you want, we say, okay, we'll view it as a ma'isa mitzvah shekel, because it's biyado. So here also, we're going to apply that to arba minim, if the arba minim are biyado. You're not totally in anyone else, you're not totally in any favors, you're not totally in any coincidences, etc., etc. Or do we say, no, that according to the Rambam, he agrees that we're dealing over here with a ma'isa mitzvah, with one ma'isa mitzvah, which is normally bevas achas, but if you could do that bevas achas, then you could also pull it out. Namely, that if you have the option of bevas achas, it's matzui biyado, then you're allowed to, in other words, that we're watering down Rabbeinu Tam a little bit. Rather than souping up the Bahag, we're watering down Rabbeinu Tam. We're saying that we can view Bevas Achas as a condition. If we have the possibility of Bevas Achas, perhaps that's Matzoi Biyado, then we can even do it, we can move it into a broader realm. In other words, are we saying that the Rambam is being machmir on the Bahag or being mekil on Rabbeinu Tam? Go in either direction. Again, the nafkamina is more conceptual because there's only going to be one bracha. The Rambam doesn't say anything about four brachas. There's only going to be one bracha. This question, there are diukim in the Mishnah Brura in the two directions. The Machaber in Shulchan Aruch paskins like the Rambam, that the Mechaber in Shulchan Aruch says, Im hayu arba'atan mitsuyim etzlo, unetolam achas achas, yotza. That's the Rambam. That's the Mechaber in Sif Yudbeis. And the Ramah says, Ubilvachiyu kulam lefanav, that the matsui biyado, or matsui etzlo, would be that he has them all simultaneously. Look in the Mishnah Brura, Sivkata nun gimel, kulam lefanav, klomar smuchim lo, de halo mevarech bracha achas lekulam kidle kamei, v'lo yitztarech lahafsik beinehem. Namely, that the Rambam would be machmir on the Bahag. He's like the Bahag, but sof kol sof the Bahag agrees that it's one bracha, and so we need them close to one another to be certain that we can view it all as one ma'isa mitzvah. Within the Bir Halacha, the Rambam was, I'm sorry, the Bir Halacha quotes the Magen Avraham that we'll see in a little while, but he uses the language at the end of the second line, Lefinias Daiti Nira Bepshitus Hatam. We won't get into Agos Maimini at this moment. The Afsha Ein Anu Sovrim Keshitas Rabbeinu Tam the Inyan Sheikach and Kulam Biyodo Vasachas. Even though we don't go as far as Rabbeinu Tam to require Bevas Achas, but we require that they all be one next to the other, so that we can still consider Lekicha Tam. And then the Bir Halacha seems to learn the Shita of the Rambam as an extension of Rabbeinu Tam, and the Mishnah Brura and Sivkat and Gimel seems to understand it as a pulling in, if you want to, a retraction of the Bahag, a Chumra on the Bahag. But what we do find you know, where it's as an additional shita, is that of the Hagos Maimonios. The Hagos Maimonios on the Rambam says, Al ze kosav Rabbeinu Simcha, on this option of taking the minim one after the other, she'im sach bein min v'min choser umvarech. That the Hagos Maimoni brings in this issue of the brachos through the back door. That if there is going to be speaking between taking the minim, then you're mevarech. And if there's not going to be speaking, then there's only one bracha. Namely, you can make one bracha al netilas lulav, and it'll apply for the entire day if you're not sach beinehem. But the moment that you speak, the moment there is afsaka, then we require bein min v'min, and this Hagos Maimoni is quoted by the Ramah. The Ramah says that as long as you make a bracha on the lulav v'daito gam hal acherim, that's fine. However, im sach beinehem tzarech levarech al kol echad v'echad bifnei atzmo. That's the Hagos Maimoni. And according to the Hagos Maimoni, we have two tracks. We have the possibility of one bracha on all four. That's if you were machaven and there was no hefsek. And we have the possibility of four brachos if you were not machaven or you were mafsik. Then we have over here four brachos. And this is what ticked off the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham says, Zeh loshon Hagos Maimoni, val ze kosar venu simcha shim sach ben min lemin choz mevarech mizeh haloshon muchach de revenu simcha l'shita sayazil de pasach gam ken b'shofar im sach choz mevarech kamo she kosar hagos maimin hasham b'shmo aval g'didan, we don't paskin that on Rosh Hashanah if you talk between the tekiyos you make another bracha g'didan kaimol am b'sim an kuf tzari beiz eno mevarech mishum dechada mitzvahi. In other words, we don't break up the brachos the moment there is a sicha. It's one mitzvah, and if it's one mitzvah, there's one bracha. This is either Rabbeinu Tam or the Bahag, according to the first way of learning. We have one ma'aseh mitzvah, one long ma'aseh mitzvah. So the Magen Avraham ends up the Efshar Kevan the Harayvid Sfira Leida Filu Lo Sach Mevarach Al Kol Echa Bifnei Atzmo L'Chein Pasa Karama Levarach Al Kol Panim Im Sach Bein Tayim. Namely, that the Ravid comes in through the back door. That we're going to say that if there's no Sicha, we view it as one mitzvah. If there's a Sicha, we'll view it as four mitzvahs. Namely, you can have Rabbeinu Tam and the Ravid, or the Bahag and the Ravid. They will view 1 and 2 as an option if there is no Sicha Beintayim, and will view 3 as the option when there is Sicha Beintayim. They could have two tracks within the world of the Tilas Lulav. So the Rambam, again, will either be a watered-down Rabbeinu Tam or a souped-up Bahag. But all of this is that we're dealing with one mitzvah, one bracha. The Ravid understands we have four ma'isa mitzvahs, we have four brachas, and the Hagos Maimoni says with both. We can have one or two when we have a case of losach, and we can have three when we have a case of sach. We can take the two tracks, in other words, as being valid. You don't have to choose one way or another. What's so interesting is that the Mishnah Brura in Sivkot on Nunvav says, after everything, Tov achar kach lachzor liyikachen kulam biyachad. That at the end, it's good to take them all together. And we so close if we have Rabbeinu Tam, who says that vas achas is a ma'akev. So even if we're going to be mekel like the Rambam of Zeh Achar Zeh, or have a ma'isa mitzvah mitmashechet, but sof kol sof, let's try and get Rabbeinu Tam in there as well. I'm going to put this over here, this one. That goes, my minis, assuming you can take two or three, and the Rambam would either be like 1b or 2b. Rambam. Here this is 2b, that would be if losach, and 3 would be if sach. Okay. Okay, one more Adkan Hakafa Beis. We have one more Hakafa, and that's the end of the Sugya. At the end of the Sugya, we find Shmuel. The Gemara says that Shmuel paskined like Rabbi Tarfon. V'azda Shmuel Gatame. It's kedai that he passed Rabbi Tarfon because Damar Lahu Shmuel Lahane Demizbene Asa, that he told the merchants who were selling Hadassim, Ashvu Vizavinu, lower your prices and sell. V'ilo, and if you don't lower your prices, Darishna Lahu Kerabi Tarfon. And if you don't lower your prices, I'm going to tell in public that we pass like Rabbi Tarfon. Everyone could use Hadassim Ketumim. The market will go through the floor, and you're not going to be able to make a parnasa. So it's kedai for you to lower the prices of those Hadassim that you have that are not Ketumim. So the Gemara says, "My Taima, why is he threatening to be Doresh the Rabbi Tarfon is halacha? If it's because Rabbi Tarfon would allow for people to use a broader set of hadasim, and the price would go down, lidrosh lehu k'Rabbi Akiva, the mekil tve. So he should threaten them that he's going to paskin like Rabbi Akiva, who is even more mekel, that he only requires one hadas. So Gemara says, no, that in reality Rabbi Tarfon is more mekel, t'rasa ketume shriche chad v'lo katum lo shriach. That it's easier to find three hadasim that are katum than it is to find one that is not katum, so the better threat would be Rabbi Tarfon. So over here, Tosos was bothered by a question that it appears from the Gemara that had the better threat been Rabbi Akiva, that Shmuel could have threatened them that he'll say the Halacha Rabbi Akiva even if we don't pass on Rabbi Akiva. That bothered Tosfos, that how in the world would we be able to threaten to make a threat based on a shita that we don't paskin like. And Tosfos, after asking that v'tema, what's Tosfos' conclusion? That's not Tosfos' conclusion. Tosfos' conclusion is that we can really threaten based on a bluff. We can threaten based on something which is not true. We have the ability of threatening to say a halacha which is really not the halacha. And then Tosfos points out that maybe really we don't pass the Rabbi Tarfon. Maybe we really pass the Rabbi Akiva. But we can threaten even with a shita we don't paskin like. That drove the Ritva up the wall. The Ritva could not stomach such an approach. The Ritva, if you look at the part that after bringing Tosfos, he brought Tosfos v'lo nehira klal. That Tosfos makes no sense to say we could threaten with a shita that we don't paskin like. Chada hechi efshar de lahavi Shmuel gonev da'atam lahavkid b'sheker. Firstly, since when are we allowed to lie? Since when are we allowed to say that I'm going to threaten, that I'm going to publicize a halacha which is not the halacha? Is that really, a proper way for a Jew to behave? Va'od the nafik minei churba, and also it's going to cause a tremendous misunderstanding. Leaving aside the lying, the man deshama o gavankari gufayu da avde hoshana didhu b'ketumin ketsuvim de bekushta ka'amar le'shmuel. That people are going to think that Shmuel is threatening them with a real halacha, and they're going to mislearn halacha. That they're going to misunderstand halacha. So we have a double problem. A, how can one lie? And B, certainly, how can one lie in an area of halacha where people are going to misinterpret halacha based on what you say? And so therefore, the Ritva disagrees with Tosfos. He says that you can only threaten with reality, but maybe really we pass like Rabbi Akiva. That is a good possibility, and that was the question of the Gemara, that maybe we pass like Rabbi Akiva, and therefore we wanted to use that as a possible threat. So we have over here a very, very basic machlokas between Tosfos, who seems to view the power of the threat of Rabbanan as all fair in love and war, that the Rabbanan can even use an under the belt threat, which is both a lie and that people may misunderstand halacha in order to be able to lower the prices. Well, the Ritva says that one is not all is fair in love and war. Not all is fair. You have to live with integrity. You have to live without saying lies, and you have to live taking into account how people are going to understand halacha. How do we? Which of these, if I were to wake up in the middle of the night, would these appear to be more intuitive to you as a halachic approach, Tosfos or the Ritva? Clearly, the Ritva. I mean, that's the way we were brought up, at least, like George Washington, that when I cut down the cherry tree, we don't lie, and certainly we're not going to lie in the area of halacha and mislead people. So how does one understand Tosfos? So perhaps, I think I heard this once from Buchenstein, perhaps within Tosfos, but Buchenstein was very bothered by Tosfos' approach, that perhaps within Tosfos we saw that there is a principle that Efshar Lismoch al Da'as Yachid Bishas Hatchak, right? Efshar Lismoch Rabbi Shimon Bishas Hatchak, Efshar Lismoch Rabbi Meir Bishas Hatchak. At Bishas Hatchak, we have the right to understand the Da'as Yachid. That's part of the world of Elu Ve'elu Dir Elohim Chayim. That's why all Shitos are brought, even those who don't paskin like, because there may be circumstances where we can paskin like such a shita. Once, who was it? Rabbi Willig? I think it was Rabbi Willig who once told me that he went, when Shlomo Karbach, Zichrono Livracha, was in Riverdale, he was speaking in Rabbi Weiss's shul. Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Weiss are cousins. And so Rabbi Willig went to Rabbi Weiss's shul for the Shalashudas where Shlomo Karbach was speaking. And Shlomo Karbach told a story about that there had been a rav in Europe where one of his balabatim came running to him the night of the Seder, that some chametz fell into his pot, and this is his whole Seder meal, and what is he going to do? And the rav sat and he was thinking, and then one of the and then he said, well, there is this shita that no one paskins like, that chametz can be batel Vishishim, even on Pesach itself. Normally we say Masha, but there is this one Shita. And then that Rav appeared to him in a dream and told him, that's why I said it, because I knew that case was going to occur at some point in Jewish history. I didn't want that person to not to be able to eat, and therefore I came up with the Shita, and I thank you for bringing in the Shita where it was meant to be used. Something like that, no?
I heard
a
version from, there was a woman who came to him, like an
Almana. Okay, the same way it's an Almana or a Balabas, I don't remember. But, what?
I thought it was some
issue in terms of Beetle that no one paskin like, and this individual. And this Rav came to him and kissed him, for bringing the Shita in when it was meant to be used in Jewish history, etc. So perhaps Tosfos viewed that the world of being blackmailed by merchants is a shas hatchak. And if it's a shas hatchak, so one can paskin like a das yachid b'shas hatchak. That, in other words, it's not a lie, and it's not a misleading, that is really the halacha. Okay, that's a valid question as to how does one define shas hatchak, yes?
We generally have the different ideas of giving authority to certain figures, put it on a tall tree, etc. Right? If a certain Amora wants to make his position more authoritative, he'll get attributed to a different Tana.
Correct. In other words, it's a broader question. In other words, here, it's the world of price gouging, and but there are other instances as well where we see that there may have been some bending of the absolute truth for an agenda, and the question is that a valid approach? In other words, does the end justify the means or not? So
trying to make Tosfos fit into the honesty is the best policy,
right? But it could. You don't have to. No, you can say that Tosfos really held that this was, in other words, that again, all is fair in love and war in terms of being able to keep the prices down, even to the degree of threatening to say something which may not be true in order to keep the prices down. In other words, you can learn Tosfos kipshuto. The Ritva says lo nehira. That tells us that certainly that such an approach is not valid. So I'm just pointing out that there is a way, perhaps, of stating that in this situation, that we have a halachic validity for paskening like a shita that otherwise we wouldn't pasken like.
It seems, though, like it could be a little bit out of order, because the Gemara first quotes the halacha like Rabbi Tarfon, I'll leave it to Shmuel. Like, Shmuel's the one who passes that. And then we have a story about what time that Shmuel threatened to pass the Rabbi Tarfon. So, maybe if, and then the Gemara has this final party about Rabbi Kiva's Shita. Maybe if we come out with the opposite conclusion, Shmuel wouldn't have passed the Rabbi Tarfon. Maybe Shmuel wouldn't have passed the Rabbi Kiva.
This is all within the Havamina, the whole Machlokas, the Ritva, and Tosis is within the Havamina of I Lema Mishum de Mekel Lidrash Loka Rabbi Akiva. In other words, that line itself. The question is how seriously one takes such a havamina. Is this havamina, was it meant to be serious? Was it meant to be?
But it assumes. I don't think the Gemara assumes, but I think the Tosfos and the Ritva assume that first Shmuel said halacha k'Rabbi Tarfon, and then he went out and talked to these merchants. But the Gemara doesn't say that. It could be lehavich, in which case. Like, there's no kasha in the first place.
100%. It's all assuming that Shmuel had a shita. And then, if he had a shita, would he have been ma'alim? Would he have ignored his own shita in order to be able to lower prices?
But I think the most basic trial of Gemara is Shmuel's shita was, we should be as many as we can in this because it's financially hard for people. And so that's what he's asking.
Okay, so the question is again, in other words, that Tosos and the Ritva read the Gemara line by line, as we have it. What you're pointing out is that we can take the story as a whole and maybe say that Shmuel came to his conclusion after making the decision that he wanted to be the most mekel. It's an option, what you're pointing out. But I do think that Tosfos and the Ritva certainly fit into the sugya as it's in front of us. Yeah?
How does the Ritva understand the general idea of halacha being learned? He has a problem of presenting halacha in non-truthful fashion, isn't that a general principle that is...
No, halacha v'ein morin kein means that a rav has the ability to remain silent and not publicize a halacha, even though it's halacha. But if he's asked on a personal plane, he's not going to lie. Over here, we're dealing with Shmuel going out and publicly saying something which is wrong. That's the issue over here.
So the difference is an active lie versus...
Yeah, in other words, you could have a situation, this is what appears to be, that, in other words, what did Shmuel himself do? He told the Avankari, if you don't lower the prices, I'm going to paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. But Shmuel did paskin like Rabbi Tarfon. But he was keeping it quiet because he wanted people to be mahadir. And it was sof kol sof, Rabbi Tarfon is a kula, and he wanted people to be mahadir, but he didn't want them to be mahadir at the expense of going hungry in the winter. And so he said, told the Avankari, look, I want people to be mahadir, but there has to be a balance between the heder. Otherwise, I'm going to paskin what I really hold. The halacha of ein morin kein fits into our sugya as well. In other words, that a rav can decide not to publicize kulos if he feels that people can really live on a higher plane. And if they could live on a higher plane, so he'd rather that they lived on a higher plane, even if it was due to their ignorance of the halacha. But not to lie. that's so the problem is the Lidro Shaluk Rabbi Akiva that appears to be a lie. Okay, we'll stop over here. Really neder, I'm sorry that it was I think a worthwhile share. That didn't get as far as I originally had planned. But we'll move over really neder into the sugya of Esrog, particularly moving over into the world of Arla, Tevel, Isurei Hana'a, Heter Achila Din Mamon. The sugi over here on Daf Lamed Heyamed Aleph, I'll give you Mar Makomos. Basically, the issue is going to be, what is the relationship between the world of Mammon and the world of Isurei Hana'ah? Do Isurei Hana'ah have value? Do Isurei Hana'ah have monetary value? And that we'll see is Machlokas Achronim, maybe, of course, the Machlokas Rishonim. Tov.